The passage today is read from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So we're continuing this Palm Sunday with our series, Growth in the Wilderness, a time of anticipation. This passage, which depicts Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, marks the beginning of the end of his ministry on earth. Poised at the start of what we know as Holy Week, it points in anticipation to the pinnacle of the salvation story, as the Christ, the Messiah, journeys towards the cross. The triumphal entry, as many Bibles have entitled it, is full of expectancy as the people who have long awaited the arrival of their Saviour welcome him with shouts of Hosanna and passionate declaration of his sovereign anointing. The people of God, who have held on to the words of the prophets in dark times, promising their Lord would come and reign over all, are now ushering his kingdom in with palm branches and great anticipation that finally God was coming to intervene in their circumstance and bring them out of this state of oppression. Understandably, they are rejoicing because their expectant hearts are seeing before them the arrival of hope, a divine conqueror who would overthrow the Roman Empire, giving them freedom and leading them to victory. This anointed one of God had been foretold, and now their liberation was near, they believed. However, this jubilant crowd who celebrated Jesus' arrival on Sunday, when they thought he was going to do what they wanted him to do, in the way they wanted him to do it, just 4 days later were shouting, "Crucify him." Their disappointment and confusion at the methods of Jesus' supposed kingdom building would lead them to turn against him and reject his offer of salvation because it didn't fit with the plan they had in mind. Without going into all the detail of why this happened, it seems that primarily their opinions changed because of what they understood of who Jesus was, based on the negative voices they were listening to around them. Instead of hearing what Jesus himself was saying and seeking to understand what he was actually doing in light of Scripture, they chose to judge him based on gossip and hearsay, which would have been the Jerusalem Day equivalent of media in our day. And as a result, they missed out on all that Jesus was actually offering them. In these days of wilderness that we find ourselves in, we need to be careful what voices we are listening to. If we are focusing our minds too much on the agenda that we have set ourselves for how God should intervene, then we are in danger of overlooking how he is actively working already. The crowd in Jerusalem were so focused on looking for an answer to their problems that they were adopting any opinion that seemed to fit with that agenda, and so lost sight of the bigger picture perspective of God's purposes. We need to be careful what we are filling our minds with in these difficult times. Are we prioritizing truth over opinion? Our usual routine methods of feeding ourselves with truth are restricted in the wilderness because we are somewhat isolated from others, and so we have to look for new ways and intentionally adjust to ensure that we are getting enough life-giving input to sustain us. It is, of course, appropriate to ensure that we keep up to date with the news, etc., so that we are informed of developments and advice being given. But it does not do us good to have our attention consumed by talk of the difficulties we are experiencing. There is life and light around us also, and each of us needs to ensure that we are feeding our souls with a balanced perspective of reality. However convincing some voices around us may be sounding, are we listening first and foremost for the voice of God in the mix? We need to guard ourselves against focusing too much on the problem we see before us, and instead fix our eyes more intently on the Saviour. As Jesus approaches Jerusalem, the anticipation of the crowd provokes a swell of expectancy to erupt into shouts of Hosanna, literally meaning, save us now. Rescue us from our circumstance, Lord, they cry, and do it quickly, please. As they see him coming, they eagerly anticipate change is on its way for them too. We too are living in a time where we long for God to step in and change things, to bring some normality back to us and end the pandemic we're facing, to save people from sickness, suffering and pain, to rescue all of us from this crisis quickly with minimal casualty and minimum disruption, to set us free, to do what we want to, where we want to again, and to leave this virus causing so much fear and oppression behind us. Hosanna, we cry. Save us now, Lord. We are in a time of anticipation, expectant that God will bring us through the wilderness that we find ourselves in. And our focus tends to be on the light at the end of the tunnel. But at what cost? What might God be trying to teach us through this experience that we are in danger of missing? Alongside what he will do in the future, what is he actively doing right now that we need to take notice of? Besides our prayers asking him to do something to change things, we also need to be seeking to understand what he is already doing in this situation to build his kingdom. As we embrace our lack of control, we have the opportunity to place ourselves again in his hands, to realign ourselves with his sovereign plan and priorities, to kneel before our King and say to him, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Us universally, of course, but also us individually too. Rescue us from all that we have become that is not of you, Lord. Psalm 139:23-24 says this, Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Rather than presuming that our established opinion of him is completely in line with his will already, each of us has a chance this Holy Week to approach his throne again with confidence and humility. Broken as we are, weak as we may feel, and in the midst of the overwhelming noise around us, in our smallness, bow to his almightiness. Our Saviour welcomes us as part of his royal family to ask him to change us, to transform us, and to remake us more into his likeness through this wilderness time. He knows our every need and knows how best to meet that need in his kingdom. This God of ours sees all and holds his focus in perfect balance between the big picture of eternal purpose and the details of today. As human beings, we are still on a learning curve in this respect, and our perspective is frequently impacted by the circumstances we find ourselves in. Rather than relying on our own ability to see it all clearly, it seems like it would be wise to fix our eyes on the one who does have complete vision and understanding of it all. He alone knows when it is best for us to focus on the specifics of now to deal with the situation, and when it is more helpful for us to cast our eyes ahead in faith, to simply hold on to the hope of the fullness of his eternal kingdom still to come. As we receive him again as our Saviour and King today and invite him to speak to us about now, let us also each be reminded of his promised future for us and be encouraged. John tells us in Revelation 7, verse 9 to 17, "There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' Then the angels fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen.' These who are in white robes have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Help us, Lord, to crown you King in our lives today and entrust ourselves to you afresh. Speak to us that we may hear your voice above the crowd and receive all that you have for us. May your kingdom come and your will be done in us and in this world today. Amen.